In the light of Hadith, 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 in the light of Hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani channel, welcome back once again to another episode of this silsila, the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. In this silsila, we take a look at the blessed ahadith, the traditions, narrations, statements of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as collected by the great Shaykhul Islam, al-Imam Muhyiddin Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in his famous collection of 40 hadith. In previous episodes, we've discussed the importance of hadith, the concept of hadith in Islam. We've discussed the virtue of 40 hadith in particular, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that the one who preserves 40 hadith for the ummah, from the matter of its deen, from the matter of its religion, such a person will gain many blessings in the hereafter. Amongst them, such a person will be raised with the scholars on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that he himself, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, will be a witness and an intercessor for that person who preserved 40 hadith for the sake of the ummah. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, acting upon this hadith, collected 40 traditions, 40 narrations, as did many, many scholars before him and after him in the history of Islam. We also discussed about why the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi is special. It's a special collection of 40 in comparison to other collections of 40 hadith written by other scholars of Islam. Because Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he intended to collect those 40 traditions which can form a basis of the entire deen of Islam. So far in this series, we've looked at the first hadith and most part of the second hadith. Insha'Allah Azawajal, in today's episode, we'll be looking at the concluding parts of the second hadith of the Arba'een, the famous hadith known as Ummu Sunnah, the essence of the Sunnah, or the mother of the Sunnah. Such an important hadith, so much depth, so much knowledge, so much wisdom. Insha'Allah Azawajal, in today's episode, we'll be looking to unravel and uncover some of the knowledge and wisdom behind these blessed words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming towards the end of the second hadith of the 40 collected by Imam al-Nawawi. Before moving on to the portion of the hadith for today, I'll share with you a blessing of reciting salawat, reciting peace and blessings upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Idha sallaytum 'ala al-mursaleen," when you send peace and blessings upon the messengers, فَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ مَعَهُمْ, then send blessings upon me with them, for indeed I am a messenger from the messengers. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَبَارَكَ وَسَلَّمُ. Moving towards the portion of the hadith for today, in previous episodes we've discussed the entire hadith in its matan form, the text of the hadith in Arabic and the translation of the hadith. And in terms of the explanation and the commentary of the hadith in the light of what the scholars of Islam have written, we covered the commentary and the explanation of the hadith up until the point of the question of ihsan. So just to recap, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrates that one day a man appeared as if from nowhere, whilst the beloved companions alayhim ridwan were in the company of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the amazing thing about this man was that nobody recognized him from the people of Medina. So he couldn't have been a resident. And at the same time, there were no traces of travel upon him. His clothes were described as being extremely white. His hair was described as being extremely black. And there were no signs of travel whatsoever upon him. So this led the Sahaba to believe that he couldn't be a traveler either. This led to the amazement and this led to the intrigue as to who this person was and the questions that he was about to ask. So this individual, he came and he sat in the court of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He joined his knees with the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He placed his hands on the blessed thighs of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to attain blessings from him. And he began to ask questions. The first question that he asked was regarding the concept of Islam. أخبرني عن الإسلام. Inform me about Islam. The beloved Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave him the reply and defined Islam and said, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. Our beloved Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام defined Islam by saying, Islam is to bear witness that there is no being worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish salah, and that you give zakah, and that you fast in the month of Ramadan, and that you perform hajj pilgrimage of the house of Allah, the Holy Kaaba, if you are able to find a path towards it. Then that individual, the questioner, he confirmed that the question had been answered correctly by saying, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. And the companions were amazed by the fact that he was asking a question and that when the answer was given, he was confirming the correctness of the answer. He then went on to ask the second question, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Inform me about Iman, inform me about belief. And the Prophet ﷺ replied, defining Iman, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ. That you believe in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ and His angels, وَكُتُبِهِ and His books, وَرُسُلِهِ and His messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and the final day, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And that you believe in destiny, the good of it and the bad of it. Again, the questioner replied by saying, you have spoken the truth. And then he asked the third question. This is the point we reached in the last episode, in terms of the commentary of this hadith. The third question that was asked, and we'll go in more detail into the realities of this question and the answer that was given in the light of what the scholars of Islam have written about this concept. The third question was regarding the concept of Ihsan. The word Ihsan in the Arabic language can mean excellence, goodness, spirituality, beauty. So this question was about the concept of Ihsan. How can a person attain excellence? How can a person beautify his Islam and his Iman? How can a person get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered in the following beautiful words. He said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. And if you do not see Him, then know that indeed He sees you. Subhanallah. Such powerful words. So brief, but so deep in their meanings. And this is part of the Jawami or Al-Kalim, the conciseness of speech that was gifted to the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a miracle from Allah. That the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say words that apparently would be short, but in the depth of meaning would contain oceans and oceans of wisdom. This statement defining Ihsan is one of those statements about which the scholars of Islam have declared that this statement is such, and this particular definition of Ihsan is so profound and so deep. The scholars have stated that Ihsan is something which thousands and thousands of pages of tasawwuf have been written about. just explaining this definition of ihsan as given by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And when we talk about ihsan, it's important for us to realize that ihsan is a part of our deen. Ihsan is a part of our religion, as we will see from the final statements of the hadith, where the beloved Prophet ﷺ declares that the individual that came to ask these questions came to teach you your deen. So each one of these questions is a portion of deen, a portion of religion. So deen is not just restricted to the outer actions of worship and the beliefs that we must hold in our heart. But deen also consists of trying to attain this perfection, this spirituality, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as ihsan. So ihsan is defined by the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah Almighty as though you see Him. The scholars say that a person who attains this rank is somebody who, when he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as though he can imagine being in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he does so, this person witnesses with the nur of his iman in his heart the beauty, the light, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such, the person's act of worship becomes an act of pleasure for him. He finds joy in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he worships Allah Almighty as though he sees Him. Now here, one important thing to note is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not say, worship Allah and see Him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, worship Allah Almighty as if you see Him. Because it's a point of our creed, our aqidah, that it's not possible for anybody to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His wakeful eyes, with the eyes of His head, His physical eyes, in this world, other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This honor and this blessing of seeing Allah Almighty with the physical eyes, in a wakeful state, before the hereafter, was reserved only for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the one who saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj in a state of wakefulness with his physical eyes. Otherwise, many pious people, many of the awliya, the likes of Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu, saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their dreams many times. But in a wakeful state, whilst awake with the physical eyes, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, before the hereafter, is only possible for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Therefore, our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, worship Allah as though you see Him. Because it's not possible to actually see Him in a wakeful state. In the hereafter, the belief of the Muslims is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the honor to the believers of seeing Him with their physical eyes. So in the hereafter, the greatest blessing of paradise, the greatest blessing of Jannah, will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is proven from many verses of the Quran and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. With regards to further details of this concept of ihsan, it mentions that those who adopted this definition of ihsan and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though they saw Him, as though they were witnessing the beauty and the light and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the acts of worship, they would become so engrossed in the acts of worship that they would, if anything happened to them in that act of worship, if anything hit them, if anything attacked them, if any animal bit them, if they were afflicted by a wound, they wouldn't feel the pain. To the extent that if they would have to have a limb amputated, they would say to the people, don't amputate my limb in a normal state. Wait for me to begin my salah. Whilst I am in the state of salah, then amputate my limb, because whilst I am in the state of salah, it is as though I am witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am in the court of Allah Almighty. I am in the proximity of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that I am so engrossed in my worship, if you amputate my limb in the state of salah, I won't feel the pain. Subhanallah. And even one step before the prayer itself, some of our pious predecessors, it's mentioned regarding Al-Imam Zainul Abidin radiyallahu anhu, the blessed son of Imam Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu, the great grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam Zainul Abidin radiyallahu anhu, it says about him, when he would go to perform wudu, to prepare for his salah, he would go pale. His color would change. And he would become anxious. The people would say to him, you're only going to perform wudu. It's something that people do all the time. Why do you look so worried? Why have you gone so pale? He would say, the reason is, I am performing wudu to prepare myself for salah, i.e. I am preparing to go into the court of my Lord. I am preparing to go into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going into His court has overcome me and caused this paleness. Subhanallah. Such was the mindset of our pious predecessors. And such was the implementation of this particular hadith. Moving on, in terms of ihsan, the scholars have mentioned regarding ihsan, that ihsan is teaching a spirituality. And the first part of this statement defining ihsan, and تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him. The second part, some scholars have said, the second part is for those who are not able to achieve the first part. So if somebody is not able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as though he sees Him, for that person, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. If you are not able to worship Allah as though you see Him, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. So at the very least, when you are engaged in acts of worship, if you cannot imagine as though you are witnessing the beauty and the light and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the very least, you should know that Allah Almighty is watching you. When you have this realization and this mindset, then the khushu', humility, the humbleness, the focus, the concentration that you will find in your salah will be incredible. And Mufti Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he gives an example, bila tamthil, bila tashbih, he gives an example of a worker who is employed by a boss, who is employed by an employer. And his employer has employed him to do certain tasks. Now his employer has given him a job and has given him certain tasks to complete in that day. Now that worker, when he knows that he's not being watched, the nature of his work, the nature of the amount of effort that he puts into his work will be completely different to when the boss is present and witnessing the work that he's doing. So when the boss is in the office, then that person will be very focused on his work. He'll ensure that he's not wasting any time. He'll ensure that his effort is being put into his work, his focus is on his work. And the attention that he'll put and the focus that he'll put on his work will be completely different to the situation when the boss has gone out. When the boss has gone out of the office, then it might be that that same worker, wastes his time, doesn't complete the tasks that the boss has given him, gets distracted by other things. Why? Because the boss isn't watching him. When a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he forgets that Allah Almighty is watching him, and he just thinks that that worship is like a ritual, that worship is just going through the motions, just ticking the boxes, then the spirituality, the concentration, the focus, the feeling, the emotions will not be found in the act of worship, as will be found if that person focuses on the fact that Allah Almighty is watching him. When he stands for salah and says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And when he says that, he knows in his mind and he feels in his heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. Then when he recites thana and he praises Allah Almighty and he recites ta'awud and tasmiyah and surah al-Fatiha and he recites the Quran and he recites the tasbih and he bows in the court of Allah and he prostrates in the court of Allah, all whilst knowing that Allah Almighty is watching him, his Lord, his Creator, who has given him this task of worshipping, is watching him, is observing him, then the focus and the concentration and the effort that that person will put into his salah will be something special, will be something different. So views of Madani Channel, as Muslims, along with fulfilling the pillars of Islam, along with believing in all the branches of Iman, it's also important for us to try our best to try to attain this station of Ihsan, to try to develop the spirituality of our hearts, to try to develop the spirituality of our worship, so that when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship Him as though we see Him. And if we are not able to see Him, at the very least, we worship Allah Almighty, knowing that He sees us. Some scholars have mentioned, amongst them, Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, in his book, Jami'ul Ulumi Wal-Hikam, a commentary on the 40 hadith of Imam Al-Nawawi, he mentions, quoting from certain scholars, that the second part of this definition of Ihsan, the first being, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, you worship Allah as though you see Him. The second being, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, if you are not able to see Him, then know that He sees you. He says a beautiful thing. He says that the second is not necessarily just for those people who are not able to achieve the first. Because they're not able to achieve the first, they're not able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if they see Him, then the second applies and they worship Allah Almighty knowing that Allah Almighty sees them. It's not just that. There's something else in this as well. He says that second part can also be a means of achieving the first part. So if somebody is not able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as though he sees Him, as though he is witnessing the beauty of Allah Almighty, then he should worship Allah Almighty knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him. But he shouldn't just relegate himself just to that. He shouldn't just restrict himself to only worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal knowing that Allah Almighty sees him, and not then think about that first aspect. Not then try to achieve the station where he is engrossed and absorbed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing the beauty of Allah Almighty, worshipping Allah Almighty as though he sees him. But rather, he should consider that second part as a stage, as a step, as a means of attaining the first part. Meaning that a person should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, knowing that Allah Almighty sees him. And then a person should develop this. He should develop this conviction, this belief. He should develop this feeling, this emotion in his heart that Allah Almighty is watching me. When he prays, he should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing me. Allah Almighty, my Lord, my Creator, the one who has tasked me with worship, the one who has ordered me to perform this prayer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that merciful Creator, is the one who is watching me. This will lead to an increase in his khushu', his humility, his humbleness, his focus and concentration in salah. And this then should lead to him, this then should be a step to him achieving the first part. So after some time of developing this feeling, he should then reach that stage, attain that status, that station, where now he worships Allah Almighty as though he sees him. And now he reaches that stage of mushahada, of witnessing the mercy and the beauty and the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we should not just establish in our worship, but this concept of ihsan is something which we should establish at all times in our lives. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever activity we are engaged in, if we are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, this will lead to us attaining the station of piety. Furthermore, the scholars have mentioned that in this particular definition of ihsan, the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned two particular stations. One is maqamul ikhlas, the station of sincerity. And this is that a person acts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He performs actions, acts of worship, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah Almighty is watching him. And because he knows that Allah Almighty is watching him, and it is only Allah Almighty who has the ability to give him the full reward of that act of worship, he worships solely for the sake of Allah and attains sincerity in his acts of worship. And such, he safeguards himself from the disease of ostentation and showing off, the disease of riyah, Because he knows Allah Almighty is watching him. He worships solely for the sake of Allah, not for any other worldly intention. And the person who doesn't just worship Allah Almighty knowing that Allah Almighty is watching him, but he worships Allah Almighty as though he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is on maqamul mushahada, the station of witnessing. This is where a person acts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performs actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing Allah Almighty with his heart. Meaning, his heart becomes enlightened with iman in such a way that it is as though he is witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart. And this is the station of the awliya, the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, the scholars have mentioned regarding worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One scholar, a famous quote that is mentioned from him, it says that he used to say, addressing the human being, "O human being, O son of Adam, who is like you, that you are so privileged, you are so fortunate, that whenever you wish, you can enter into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can speak to Allah Almighty without a translator. You can speak directly to Allah Almighty in your acts of worship. You can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah azza wa jal, without any barrier between you and Allah Almighty. You are so fortunate and so privileged to be a human being, to be blessed with this honor." Furthermore, the scholars have mentioned that the person who reaches the station of mushahada, who worships Allah Almighty as though he sees him, such a person, even when he is alone, that person finds the utmost pleasure in being alone, in solitude. Why? Because even when he is apparently alone, he knows that Allah Almighty is with him. Because he witnesses the beauty of Allah Almighty in everything. Because that person has reached a stage that when he performs acts of worship, he does so witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though he sees Allah Almighty. Therefore, even when he is alone, even when he is in solitude, he finds that solitude the sweetest and the most pleasurable of states. Furthermore, the scholars have mentioned Imam Dhunnun al-Misri, rahimahullah, the great Sufi, the great saint, he mentioned that from amongst the signs of those who have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they do not feel comfort unless they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never feel afraid, they never feel strange, they never feel scared when they are alone, because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. Subhanallah. So, the concept of ihsan is a beautiful concept. And it's a concept which we should all try to attain in our lives. Now, we have discussed the concepts of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, in his Jami' al-Ulumi wal-Hikam, he mentioned something very beautiful with regards to these three concepts. He says that if a person reflects upon these three concepts, the answers, these three questions, and the answers given by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to each question, a person will come to the conclusion that all of the ulum, all of the sciences, all of the branches of knowledge in Islam, they come back to these three subjects, these three concepts of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. He states that the definition of Islam was a description or a list of the pillars of Islam, bearing witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, establishing salah, giving zakat, performing hajj, fasting in Ramadan. These things are all discussed by the scholars of fiqh, the fuqaha, the jurists, the scholars of Islamic law. The scholars of Islamic law, they teach us what the conditions, what the pillars, what the fara'id, what the obligations, what the makruhat of all of these acts of worship are. What things do we need to ensure to make sure that our prayer is valid, to make sure that our zakat is fulfilled, to make sure that our fast is valid, to make sure that our hajj is valid. What are the rulings of all of these things? All of these things are discussed in the science of fiqh, and the science of fiqh has its roots in this concept of Islam and this answer given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the mutakallimun, the scholars of aqidah, the scholars of kalam, the scholars of creed, the scholars who teach us about our beliefs, they discuss iman billah, believing in Allah. What necessary beliefs we have to have regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The correct beliefs regarding the angels in Islam, beliefs regarding the books, the messengers, the final day, destiny. These are all mentioned by the scholars of aqidah. So this concept of kalam, aqidah, this all comes back to the concept of iman, this question of iman, and the answer that was given by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we have the concept of tasawwuf, spirituality, the concept of ihsan, the concept of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of ma'rifah, the concept of getting closer to Allah Almighty, the concept of the actions of the inner state of a person, and how that should be in its relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah Almighty, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in Allah Almighty, patience, being pleased with whatever Allah Almighty has decreed for us. All of these things come back to this concept of ihsan. So the subject of tasawwuf and all that has been written about it, all of those who have talked about spirituality, the saints of Allah, this huge topic, this huge ocean of spirituality, all finds its roots in the concept of ihsan, this question that was asked, and the answer that was given by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this is why, after mentioning this, in the commentary it states, فَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَحْدَهُ كِفَايَةً. In this hadith alone is enough in terms of a summary of all of the uloom, all of the sciences, all of the branches of Islamic knowledge. Subhanallah. Views of Madani Channel, inshaAllah, in our next episode, we will conclude with the final portion of this hadith, discussing the concept of the Day of Judgment and the signs of the Day of Judgment. InshaAllah, in our next episode, we'll be discussing and trying to answer the question as to whether or not the beloved Prophet ﷺ has the knowledge of the final hour, and what some of the signs of the final hour are. What are the signs of the Day of Judgment? How do we know when the Day of Judgment is coming close? What predictions and prophecies did our beloved Nabi ﷺ make regarding those things which will happen in the future, which will be signs that the Day of Judgment is close? Stay tuned to this silsila and all the other silsilas of Madani Channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to attain true piety and spirituality. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to worship Him, knowing that He is watching us. And may Allah Almighty give us the ability to worship Him as though we see Him. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam.
In the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the